5. You know why they call it the Dead Sea? Because it's dead. Nothing grows in it. It has an inlet, but it has no outlet. And it has an extremely, extremely high salt content. In fact, instead of the Dead Sea, sometimes it's referred to as the Salt Sea. Some of you have been in it. I've been in the Dead Sea, and I'm telling you, if you get salt water in your eye, say, from the ocean here, it stings. If you get the slightest, tiniest drop of salt water in your eye from the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, oh, terrible pain. It is so salty. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, verse 13, Jesus talks about salt, doesn't he? And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt have lost his savor, or his seasoning, or his flavor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." I'm convinced that when Jesus spoke those words, he wasn't too far from the Salt Sea. He was on, of course, what is called the Mount of the Beatitudes, not too far from the Salt Sea. Jesus often used things that were common in everyday life to illustrate spiritual truth, and this is just another example of it. But the description that he uses here of disciples, of followers of Jesus, "You are the salt of the earth," that description of us requires us to understand a few things. And I want to share those with you after we pause right now and look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, once again, we're thankful for the Bible. We're thankful for the words that fell from the lips of our Savior. These words are just full of meaning, and I would pray that you would speak to us from these words tonight. What is it that you would say to us, and what would you want to accomplish through us considering these very words? Ye are the salt of the earth. I pray that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, that you'd give us spiritual ears that are tuned in, that we would be listening to what the Spirit of God has to say through his word tonight. We thank you again for the occasion and for this opportunity. May we use it to the fullest, and may Jesus be praised because he alone is worthy. And we ask it on his behalf, in his name. Amen. So let me first of all share some things with you about salt. And really, two important items regarding this substance that we call salt. Number one, it was then, and it is still now today, something that is valued. It is a valuable and necessary substance that was known to them, known to us. It's known and necessary all around the world. You know, there are salt mines all over this earth. But of course, the oceans that cover this earth have the most salt in them. For example, I am told that the Pacific Ocean, if you take a ton of Pacific Ocean water and evaporate it, it will give you 79 pounds of salt. The Atlantic Ocean, right out here. The Atlantic Ocean, if you take a ton of water from the Atlantic Ocean and dehydrate it, it will give you 81 tons of salt, or 81 pounds of salt, one ton of water. But if you take a ton of water from the Dead Sea, from the Salt Sea, and dehydrate it, it will give you 187 pounds of salt. That's how salty it is. Valuable, but also it has various uses. Why did Jesus use this to describe his followers? Ye are the salt of the earth. Well, let's just think for a moment of some of the ways in which salt was used then. Of course, some of this is still true today. First of all, it was used as medicine. In fact, did you know that salt is necessary to sustain your human life? That there is a percentage of salt in your bloodstream, every one of us. You know, if you've ever cut yourself and you maybe licked that cut, it's a little salty, isn't it? There is an exact percentage of salt in your bloodstream that is necessary for you to be well. Without that perfect percentage of salt in your blood, you would either be sick or you'd die. So it had medicinal purposes, but salt also had purposes in society. It was important. It was important to human survival. There have been wars, believe it or not, that have been fought over salt, and empires that were built as a result of salt, and empires that collapsed because of the lack of it. Did you know that in the Bible, God talks about a covenant of salt? It was salt that was part of making a contract, making an agreement between two parties that made that legally binding, a covenant. Why salt? Well, salt is a preservative, and so maybe that's part of the reason why. But also, salt had a commercial usage. For instance, one of the oldest roads in Europe is called the Via Salaria, and it went from the coast to the central part of Italy, and they transported salt from ships down that road. Roman soldiers, believe it or not, Roman soldiers were often paid their wages in salt. It was called salarium, and we get our English word salary from it. And some traders in sub-Sahara Africa traded gold for equal amounts of salt because of its scarcity there. But salt has a spiritual aspect, and that's what Jesus is hitting on in Matthew 5:13 when he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He wants to communicate the fact that while salt, that substance, is valued in all of these various ways, followers of Jesus are valuable to society. Think of it this way. Remember that shipwreck that Luke records for us that Paul was involved in on the in the Mediterranean? Remember, I think it's Acts 27? He was shipwrecked, but before the ship actually was broken apart and the men had to abandon it and jump into the Mediterranean Sea and get to shore on the Isle of Malta, God gave Paul the assurance that all 276 people on board that ship were going to make it alive to the shore. Now, don't you think that that was valuable information for all of those people on that ship? Do you realize that because Paul was on that ship, when the ship was wrecked, because of his presence as a believer on that ship, every single life was spared? Here's the idea then, and that is that followers of Christ are very valuable to society. Without believers on this earth, society falls apart. Society is totally shipwrecked. If there's any redeeming factor happening on this earth, it's because you are the salt of the earth. It's because God has left believers on this planet, And that is who we are. We are the salt. We are of value to this earth. Let's look at the text a little closely tonight. Three things about this verse, Matthew 5:13, that I want you to take note of what Jesus says. First of all, he says, ye are the salt of what? Not heaven. You're the salt of the earth. That's the place where Jesus expects us to have the most influence, to make a huge difference here on this earth. God expects us to have an impact upon this planet. God expects us to have influence in this corrupt world. God expects you as an individual salt in your neighborhood to have an influence and an impact for God there. You are the salt of the earth right in your neighborhood, right in your home, if we could take it even a little closer. You're the salt of the earth. And then he says, look at the verse again, if the salt has lost its savor, if the salt loses its saltiness, if the salt loses its seasoning ability, if the salt loses its flavor. You know, salt in the ancient Middle East, where Jesus is speaking from, was often diluted. It was diluted with magnesium or rain and wind and age just diluted it down. And the thought here is this. If believers lose their influence by watering down the message of God's word, either by what they say about it or how they fail to live it out properly, if the believer loses his or her influence by watering down the message or mixing the message with worldliness, and not being salty saints, and not passing the salt, so to speak, we won't be the salt of the earth that we're meant to be. We won't be that preservative of a corrupt society. We won't create a thirst in this earth for the Lord. We have no promised healing properties if we water down and dilute the message. We won't have that purifying effect upon those around us. You're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness, is what he's saying. Don't dilute it. Don't be diluted, because when your influence doesn't accomplish what God intends your influence, your impact to accomplish, your witness really is ignored by the world. And I'm telling you, a lot of Christianity is just totally ignored today because it's too much like the world. There's nothing really distinct about it. There's not a whole lot different to offer them. We're so much like them, they can't tell the difference between themselves and us. And I think to a certain degree, the salt has lost its saltiness. But there's another thought in that 13th verse of Matthew 13. You're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, notice the next few words, good for what? Nothing. It's useless. It's to be trashed. It's good for nothing. When a believer has lost his or her testimony, when a believer does not have any holy influence or impact to those around them, you know what the lost world does? It despises Christianity like that. It ridicules believers like that. It rejects the Christ that we supposedly represent. Good for nothing. That's what Jesus says. There's a third thought that I want to bring to your attention tonight, and that is the impact that God intends us when he calls his followers the salt of the earth, the impact that he intends us to have here in this earth. God placed us here to be, if you will, sprinkled out of this salt shaker that we would call a local church, to be sprinkled out of it into a corrupt city, into a corrupt nation, into a corrupt world or society. We are to have impact upon the corruption. Too often, all we do is complain and whine about the corruption. But we have little impact upon it. We don't have a holy influence regarding the corruption. You know, when salt is poured into a wound, it really stings, right? However, even though it stings, when salt is poured into a wound, it purifies that wound and actually stops the spread of bacteria. It kills the bacteria. Believers that have a holy influence in this world, that are the salt of the earth, they sting. They are not really looked on well by the world, because we have a purifying effect, and that's hurtful to the world. But yet it is purifying, and it stops the spread of evil. It stops the spread of corruption. I'm convinced that the only hope for New York City is salty Christians, is believers that pass the salt, is believers that are sprinkled out of the salt shaker of a local church like this into society, that godly lives that have a purifying effect impact people. So I would simply say, please pass the salt. Sprinkle the salt freely. Don't worry about holding back the salt. That's what this city needs. That's what our country needs. It's the only hope. It will stop, or at least slow down, the spread of corruption. But there's a second impact when you think about that phrase, ye are the salt of the earth, that Jesus shares with us. And that has to do with not only the corruption that this can slow down, but also the proportion. You know, many recipes, it just takes a pinch of salt in that recipe to season it. You don't need a whole box of salt. Just a little pinch of it will do it. It goes a long way to flavor food. It's not the amount, but it's the quality of a believing life that really isn't. It's not how many believers are in the salt shaker, but it's the quality of the believers in the local church. It doesn't take a big group of people to have a mighty impact upon this city. It's what God wants, and it's what God can do. In proportion to what we're up against, it seems like we're up against just, unbreakable odds. And yet, just a little salt will go a long way. And then there's a third thing here. And that is what I call the connection. And I mean getting out of the box, getting out of the salt shaker, if you will. A box of salt sitting in a corner will never stop anything from spoiling unless it comes in contact with that, say, food. And believers that might be strong as a church, as a bunch of salt together, are weak in their neighborhood until they make what we might call redemptive connections in that neighborhood. God wants us to make redemptive connections. God wants us to have relationships with people, all kinds of people, all around us, so that we, as the salt of the earth, can impact them and influence them for Christ. And if we stay in the salt shaker, If we stay in the box and we never are sprinkled out among the lost around us, what good are we? The salt of the earth has to come in contact and has to connect with a lost world in order to have the influence and the impact that Jesus is referring to here. You're the salt of the earth. An archaeologist studying in the land of Israel found a rock formation that was encrusted with salt. He broke a piece off of the outside of it, and he tasted it, and it didn't taste like salt at all. So he dug farther into this rock formation until he struck a white seam that was running through the middle of it. And he chipped a piece of that white seam out of that rock formation, and he tasted it, and then he noted this in his record. He said, "The salt that is closest to the heart of the rock is the saltiest." Well, I would say this. The secret of passing the salt, of getting the salt of the earth out of the salt shaker, is this. Believers have to stay as close as possible to the heart of the rock, who is the Lord Jesus, if they will retain their flavor, if they will represent their Savior and enjoy His favor. Ye are the salt of the earth. Think about that. Act upon it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just these simple thoughts from your word. And I pray that we would meditate upon these things and we would give ourselves to them, that the profitability of it would become evident in our daily lives. You said, "We're the salt of the earth." May we pass the salt, and may we pass it freely, and may it do its work. May you do your work through these pieces of salt, through this local church, this salt shaker. May we have that preserving, purifying, and just flavorful seasoning upon those around us, beginning in our very homes, spreading to our neighbors and our neighborhood, penetrating this city, we pray, for your glory, in Jesus' name.